Putting the ain't in saint, you're listening to Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show. And now here's your host, Drew Marshall.
I'm sorry, but as far as I'm concerned, Mumford and Sons are not done.
What do you mean, though?
A lot of people are saying, you know, everyone's copying them, you know, overplayed, that kind of thing.
Right.
I'm telling you, though, this has got to be one of the all-time best albums.
Yeah, it's a great
album. I would take this to a desert island.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. The only thing I don't like is they just start sounding alike all the time. That's my only problem.
Really?
Yeah. But, so you know what? By the same token, they're great songs. Like, it's...
Well,
it's a bizarre thing.
Bono doesn't sound alike all the time?
No, I...
Wait, crescendo. Okay. I just threw out the word crescendo.
Yeah, I don't even know if that's what the word is. I think it's just my own musical thing, that's all.
I just got a lovely note from Kara Matthew.
Are you
Matthew
allowed to read it on air?
I'm going to read it on air.
Okay. Should I change the music?
No. Thank you so much for having me on your radio show. It has been such a pleasure working with you. Hope we can cross paths again in the future. All the best and lots of gratitude. Kara. What?
Kara Kavanaugh.
Anyway, my point is, she wrote this before she came on and did the show. She didn't know it was going to be a pleasure working with me.
Well, she talked about having intuition, so maybe she went for it, you know. Yeah. I listen, unlike you.
That was a beautiful segment. I enjoyed
it. It
was
very good. Incredible voice on that young woman.
Do we not have great talent coming through this place?
We do, except behind the board here.
It's time for our WTF segment. It's called Where's the Faith? And that's where we are joined by a variety of religion reporters from an assortment of news outlets. And we catch up on the happenings in the world of religion and faith and cults.
Oh my.
Today's WTF guest, Jack Jenkins, Senior, or as our intern, our social media intern likes to call him online, Enyer, religion reporter for Think Progress. That's what happens when you miss a letter.
Enyer.
Check out
Enyer
the tweet.
Ear.
Check out the tweet you sent out. He's the Enyer. Yep, it's okay. He liked it, so that's okay. Jack Jenkins, he's on the line with us. Jack, how you doing? What's it like being an Enyer religion reporter?
It's a very distinct title. I had to work for that one. It's different.
Did you happen to notice that there was a typo? Did you notice?
I may have. In my brain, it just auto-corrected it automatically, but now looking back, you know, as someone who uses Twitter a lot and is riddled with typos, I am deeply sympathetic to the intern, so okay. I understand. But that having been said, I'm going to use that as my title here moving forward, so being your religion reporter.
I have a funny typo story.
Too funny, yes?
Just happened. They have this healthcare convention where there's a healthcare course, and they set up all these booths that the students do. Long story short, one of our teachers who teaches it, she's French-Canadian by birth, so sometimes the English language is a struggle for her. She meant to write, you know, displays of organs.
Oh, no. Don't even want to know.
But it came out quite different, and it was quite hilarious.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Tim the Tool. He's an English teacher. No, you're a drama teacher, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't read English good.
Anyway, Jack, welcome to the show. You can tell we're not too serious. So since we're not too serious, let's talk about Hillary Clinton, if you don't mind. Apparently, she's now the most religious candidate running for president. I thought Mr. Trump was way more Jesus-y.
Well, it kind of depends on your definition. However, if you were to ask most of the leading members of the religious right right now, for instance, Russell Moore, who runs the political wing of the Southern Baptist Convention, or Eric Erickson, or any number of other, you know, traditional leaders within the right wing of the religious world in the United States of America, Trump is a failure in terms of his ability to be religious. So, for instance, he's had difficulty naming his favorite book of the Bible, or, you know, he went to an evangelical church and tried to put money in the communion plate. He hasn't been able to be religiously literate on a regular basis. So comparatively, Hillary Clinton, who has been deeply invested in the United Methodist Church for quite some time, she's spoken at their conferences, she's often cited her Methodism and can cite scripture off the cuff. You know, using the traditional markers of religiosity, she is more religious than Mr. Trump.
Well, listen, I mean, if Hillary Clinton can believe in UFOs, then she can certainly believe in God. That came out fairly recently. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't. What?
Yeah, she's a big UFO supporter.
Really?
She said that if she gets elected, she'll release the documents on Roswell.
I want to know, too. I think they're real.
I'd like her to release the documents on the Ten Commandments. Where are they? Where's the Ark of the Covenant? Where's Indiana Jones?
Well, the Ark of the Covenant, it's in that big storage unit somewhere in the States.
Oh, that's right.
In the desert.
Oh. That's right. Well, speaking of the religious right, according to some people, compared to the rest of the religious right, Mormons are actually surprisingly progressive. Did you know that, Tim?
Right.
That's irony.
It is.
Oxymoron, actually.
Jack, can you fill in the blanks on that one?
Yeah, it kind of comes down to, in terms of the Mormon Church, the Church of Latter-day Saints in the United States, has honestly just been better than most of the other parts of the religious right of trying to avoid culture wars. So, for instance, you've probably heard all of these different governors throughout the United States who have had, you know, these religious liberty bills that they ultimately had to veto because all of these companies said that they're not going to, you know, do work in the state because they're discriminatory towards LGBT people, et cetera, et cetera. But in Utah, the LDS Church and the governor worked with LGBT communities to forge a non-discrimination policy, non-discrimination laws that protect LGBT people, but also have religious liberty carve-outs. And it's one of the only success stories of, you know, Mormons or any major theologically conservative group working with progressives to try to forge a compromise in recent history. And that's in addition to them, they rejected Donald Trump outright, his whole mission to ban Muslims from entering the country. The Latter-day Saints actually came out against that. It's one of the only times they've spoken out against a candidate as a church. They said that policy is not something you support, because that's something that happened to them. The United States government actually tried to ban Mormons from immigrating back into the country back in the day. And so for them, this is like a red line. So you take these together and you start to see that, comparatively speaking, as one component of the religious right, Mormons are actually more progressive on a relative scale than say, right-wing evangelical Christians or conservative Catholics.
Hmm. That's interesting, isn't it?
It's a head shaker. But, you know, that thing about the Mormons being kicked out or not being allowed back in, I didn't know that. But it's kind of scary that we continue to just...
It's so cyclical.
This circle back and back and back.
We're smart.
SMRT.
SMRT. Now, speaking of Mormons, Tim.
Yes?
Did you know that they used to be called the non-whites?
What?
Yeah. Again,
doesn't that go against company policy?
Would you stop it? We need Jack to fill in the blanks again. Jack, here's something you pricked me enough with this topic that I actually did a little research on it, and I still don't understand it. So what?
So, I mean, it's a good question. Basically, this is part of the same history I just mentioned. So the fact that the United States government was trying to, you know, ban Mormons from reentering the country harkens back to the fact that the Mormons always had a contentious relationship with local and federal governments when they were first getting started. I mean, their founder, Joseph Smith, was actually assassinated while he was running for president of the United States. And so when you get into Mormon histories, you start to see that their relationships with their neighbors were so antagonistic that one of the earliest attempts to try to discredit them as a group and kind of kick them out of the country was to say that they're just not white people. And so, I mean, obviously they were intensely white, but they sent this military doctor out to Utah when I landed out there. He came back and gave this speech, report to the Senate saying that they're not really white people, that because, you know, there's some that engage in polygamy, that they've turned into a different race. And all of this was just a way to try to discredit them, because this is during the last big wave in American history where nativism, this idea of, you know, that Protestant Christians were the only people that were qualified to run this country. You know, they would do this to Catholics and they would do this to Mormons. So you actually have this long history within Mormonism where they were told that they weren't white, they were told that they weren't religious, just so nobody who was white and Protestant would lose power to our Mormons.
So will they be building a wall around Utah?
Not anytime soon, but you never know. You never know in the coming days.
So is that why they don't support Trump, I guess? Because he's sort of, you know, anti-immigration in some ways, I would imagine, right? They're not big Trump fans.
When it comes, there's actually there's some argument. There's only one poll to support this. So let me qualify this. But there's actually some argument that if Trump, you know, he's the presumptive GOP nominee right now, and if he is becomes, you know, the official GOP nominee, it's actually plausible that he could lose Utah because of how negative his the perception of Trump is in the state of Utah and among Mormons. He's deeply unpopular because he reminds them of a point of their history where they were discriminated against as a religious group and as a group of immigrants.
That doesn't resonate in my brain at all. I don't get that. I mean, it's such a long time ago. I don't understand how this could be such a trigger issue.
That's
and yet
the
they
problem.
Would, such a trigger issue they would go for Hillary? Really?
Yes.
Again,
perfect
I'm saying there's only one poll that supports this.
Oh, okay.
I think what you would see is if it did happen, if it were to occur, part of it would be that a whole section of the population stays home, that they just wouldn't support any major candidate. Or, actually, one thing that came out today is that a group of Republicans, which include Mitt Romney, who's also not a big Trump fan, are seeking a third-party candidate, which could plausibly be Mitt Romney, in which case they would probably show up to vote for him or her instead.
Wow.
So that's another option.
Interesting.
Not to dominate all of our religious talk with Donald Trump, but it is interesting. And I noticed this a while ago, Jack, when I started figuring out, okay, who's sucking up to Trump from the Jesus tribe? And what I can kind of figure, the only thing I really noticed was that there seemed to be a lot of the name it and claim it folks, the blab it and grab it folks, the prosperity doctrine folks are saddling up to Mr. Trump. And that makes sense because he's the epitome of cash. And, of course, that's what prosperity, as much as they say it's not about money, whatever it is. But I guess you're also in one of your articles here. Again, we're talking with Jack Jenkins, thinkprogress.org, thinkprogress.org. Jack, another kind of angle on this is that the evangelical folks who are on side with the Trumpmeister are ones who really kind of don't really go to church, sort of, kind of, not really, kind of, sort of?
Yeah. So you basically have, you know, at the grass top level, some of the big people who are, you know, pastors who endorse him, you are seeing, you know, support from the prosperity gospel preachers, these folks, if you said name and claim it, health and wealth. They, you know, Joel Osteen blinks a lot and smiles big and tells you that if you give him money, then God will also bless you. So those folks, as you mentioned, have like a natural connection to Trump that actually goes back several years. But the weird thing about Trump's rise has been that there's a whole chunk of evangelicals that have flocked to this guy who, as mentioned, can't name his favorite Bible verse. You know, he like his own denomination that he claims Presbyterianism has actually tried to kick him out and realized they can't because he's not an active member of any church. And so it's confounded all these people. Like, who are these evangelicals that have turned out for him, even though their leadership, the evangelical leadership, has told them not to? And when you dig into the data, what you start to find is that most of these evangelicals are people who only go to church infrequently at most, right? So these are folks who go, you know, maybe once a month, maybe twice a month. And so they're not as tied to the institutions of evangelicalism or the leadership of evangelicalism as you would find the folks who show up for, say, Ted Cruz. And so his evangelical supporters aren't going to be swayed by these religious right arguments that, you know, Trump should be better about the Bible and better about Scripture, because they don't care as much. Like, they're not as tied. They have a Bible in their house and a cross on their wall and maybe a Scripture tattoo, but for them, it's less about, you know, showing up to church on Sunday and more about just saying they're a Christian.
Jack, where have you been all our lives, man? You need to be on this show every stinking week. I'm just, when you said the tattoo thing, Tim the Tool, who is across the board from me here, is loaded with tattoos because he's still trying to grow his mullet but can't, so that's his mullet extension. And he has a tattoo in his forearm that, what's the verse again, Tim?
Leviticus 19:28,
which is the verse that says, don't get tattoos. There you go.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah. Inspired by a pastor around here, so.
Yeah, there's a guy up this way who's probably one of the best teachers, Bible teachers I've ever come across. His name is Bruxy Cavey, and he actually is kind of an overweight hippie pastor.
Yes.
Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah.
And he got that tattoo. Anyway, okay.
That's awesome.
So, do you think with the Trumpmeister, wow, it's like four stories of Trumpishness. Do you think the Trumpmeister, not to be confused with Airmeister, Burgermeister, whatever it is from Rudolph, do you think, remember, that? Wasn't that the guy that banned the toys?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
I can look it up if you want.
He's so like Trump. Do you, with Trump and his anti-immigration, anti-Muslim-ish stuff, Do you think that he is fueling sort of any sort of attacks on Muslims that are still happening in your great nation?
Absolutely. So basically, there's been a big uptick in attacks on Muslim Americans, either on their persons, like physical attacks, people have been shot, or on their houses of worship, or discrimination in airports. That's been a huge spike since the Paris attacks last November, and that was part of what sparked it. But the Southern Poverty Law Center, one of the main groups that tracks hate groups in the United States, has said pretty explicitly that they saw this huge spike in Islamophobic incidents, and that a lot of this has to do with anti-Islam rhetoric coming from politicians. Now, the most pronounced among them is Donald Trump, for obvious reasons, but it's not just him. Ted Cruz was also, almost equally as vitriolic in terms of policies that he espoused. He said that we should patrol Muslim neighborhoods, and try to track down certain groups of people. You also had different candidates within the Republican field that weren't Donald Trump or Ted Cruz who were saying that we should, shut down the mosques if they preach anything that, we investigate them and find something bad in their worshiping community that they should be shut down. And all of these people are starting to see are triggering some kind of attacks. There's even instances where Muslim Americans have been attacked, and as the person runs away, they shout Trump 2016.
Wow.
So you're starting to see, it's a bad environment. It's a volatile environment that he's used to get himself elected, but is actually literally hurting people on the ground.
Well, I actually spent a little time reading some of your articles, and if you want to read some actually well-researched, in-depth articles in the world of religion, faith, and cults, and whatever else, you want to track down this guy, Jack Jenkins. He is in your religion reporter for Think Progress. thinkprogress.org is where you want to go, and lots of great stuff there. I'm sorry it's taken 13 years to get you on the show, Jack, but thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me on. Let me know when you want me to come back.
We sure will. We'll be bugging you like a recurring nightmare. Okay, Jack? Take care, dude. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, folks, a very short break, and we'll be right back.